Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here. Of course, it is time for a trip report. That's what we do every Monday, so stand by for that. John is on the line here in St. Louis talking about a great trip. First, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. You need more Disney in your life, and you know what? How about a little history that gets you fired up for life, gets you fired up for relationships at work with your family, friends, coaches? That's where these books fall in. You got two great books. You got Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, the newest book by author Jeff Barnes, focusing on Walt Disney World and how Walt Disney wanted to take the success of Disneyland out on the West Coast to the East Coast, to Central Florida, to expand the audience and make his dream multiple times larger. And, of course, he had the space to dream big down there. And, of course, you got the original book, The Wisdom of Walt, which talks about Walt Disney taking his expertise in animation and turning that into a three-dimensional walkthrough experience that all Americans and folks all around the world can check out. Check out these two great books. You can pick them up on Amazon. You can get them in audio versions if you're a podcast fan. It's a great way to consume the books, or ebooks and traditional books as well, even signed by Jeff Barnes. Check them out today over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. Of course, they have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. And for the price of about two incredible summer cupcakes, you're getting 365 days of great information. Going to save you hours and hours on your next trip. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1355 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you. And you know, some Mondays are rougher than others, but then again, some Mondays you wake up at Port Orleans Riverside and life is good. That is me today. So make sure you're following along on the social media on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike and of course, Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. I'll have lots and lots of pictures as I have for the last week or so, I hope. So check those out, and we'll be down here for a few more days watching some friends' daughters all perform at Disney Springs. You know, that's worth extending your trip for another three nights so you can watch that 3 minutes of dancing. But hey, it was my wife's idea, so we're in. All right, so we've got a trip report here for you on a Monday to kick the week off the right way. We're not going very far from home. We're talking to John here in St. Louis. How's it going, John?
What's going on? Is there another place other than Disney where you're like, you know, yeah, I know it's really expensive, but let's just stay for a couple of more days to watch this few minutes of our friends, and we'll just use that as our reason for it.
Well, that's it. You know, my wife was talking about how her co-teacher at Wedgwood Elementary, where she teaches here in St. Louis, that, you know, they've never gone down to Walt Disney World before, have three girls, all 10 and under, dancers, and they're, you know, they had a chance to perform at Walt Disney World. So I thought it was going to be something like an ESPN, you know, it was a big cheer competition or something. We find out it's actually just, you know, I mean, I'm not saying, not you know, negating this in any way, but they're dancing on that stage at Disney Springs, which is fun. But, I mean, we're getting three more days, actually 4 days, three nights of vacation out of this. So I love those girls right about now.
You owe somebody a dinner when they get home.
Well, my wife's like, oh, man, they're flying in the day we're flying out. Maybe we'll see them at the airport. And then the next day she said, well, you know, do you want to stay and watch? I'm like, yes, I had it booked immediately. I was like, yes, we definitely want to watch.
Awesome. Good for you.
Can't miss it. All right. So let's talk about your trip. Not my trip, but we'll have a lot to talk about when I get back. Now, you took a trip not too long ago. You got so much to talk about. I want to get going on this because you kicked it off. Well, first of all, talk about when you went down, who traveled with you, that stuff. Well, let's talk about the pre-trip and all that.
All right. The group was four of us, my wife, me, Riley, who at the time is 10 years old. She's going to turn 11 2 weeks later. And then Isabella, who had just turned 7 in August. We left St. Louis Black Friday that night, last flight out of St. Louis to get down to Orlando. and we were there until the following Sunday.
So how is travel over that weekend? You know, it seems like most of the crowds would have been gone by then, right? Late night, Black Friday?
Yeah, no, it was fine. And cost of the flight, I couldn't believe it. It was actually less expensive for us to fly down on that Friday, even including hotel. It was less expensive for us to fly down on the last flight Friday night than to fly out on Saturday. Nice. Or on Sunday. Yeah, even Saturday or Sunday, actually. It was going to be less.
All right, I'll think about that. It also gets me out of having to watch the kid while my wife Black Friday shops for 36 straight hours. It's getting a little easier now. She's older, but it used to be a bear. All right, so you guys checked in. You stayed off-site there at the beginning and visited a little Universal, it looks like. You went to Toothsome's.
Yeah, we went to Toothsome's for dinner. That was actually, that day is my birthday, November 25th, so I got to pick dinner. And when we were at Universal in 2016, they had just started building that, and it had actually, I don't even think they'd announced it yet. Just the NBA was being taken down. And so this was immediate. If I had a chance to go anywhere on my birthday, we were going to go to Toothsome's. As soon as it opened, I said I needed to go, because to get a milkshake that has like a cake on top and then to get chocolate bread on top of that as a side dish, like, that's the greatest place that has ever opened.
It is. I mean, it's stupid big shakes. I mean, I say that in a very enduring way. You know, it's amazing. And it's also America at its best, and in America at its very worst at the same time.
It is everything that is bad about us, exactly, but it's so, so good. And it was fun that the window that they have there where you can watch the pastry chef go and make these, and I'm sure it's always different guys, but the gentleman who was there when we were there was entertaining. He was having fun with everybody. He's throwing stuff at the window, acting like he's posing with the shakes for pictures. It was it is a themed restaurant with entertainment. And I know that you didn't get to go inside, but the proprietor of the property, Penelope, she comes around and in character and visits every table and visits with everybody. And she was fantastic. It was a fun experience. And I would recommend, you know, if you get a chance to get on over there, yes, it stinks if you're off property, you got to pay $20 to park. But if you get a chance to go over there, it's worth it.
Yeah, City Walk is pretty sweet. I mean, I really did enjoy my time. It was 180 degrees different than what I was expecting in my mind's eye. It's very clean, very just, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And if you want to eat, man, that's a place to eat. Just saying. All right. So another thing I want to hit real quick. We got so much, so we're kind of hitting things real quick. But you guys visited the Character Warehouse. You had to pick up a cast iron skillet, which is kind of weird, but you can get to that later. But I've never been to those places, but always wanted to go there. But I've, you know, been to Walt Disney World 20 times, and I never stepped foot off property very much. So what was that experience like?
It was good enough that when the trip that we're planning in 2019 and around the same time period, we're doing it exactly the same. The Character Warehouse, if you want to buy souvenirs, if you want to do like the pin trading and get pins and lanyards and that stuff, it's worth taking a Lyft or an Uber over there, over at the Vineland Mall. It's not that far. You don't need to go all the way down to the other one, the International Mall. The one at Vineland is the bigger store. And I couldn't believe it. We're buying pins for $2. They got their lanyard for like $1.99 as well, or $2 or $3, something like that. The walking Mickey t-shirts that said Walt Disney World across from them, kind of the distressed look of Mickey in the text, those were $5.
Oh,
you can't buy that. I mean, these are $30 items, and you know the lanyard's, what, $20 with the pin starter kit over on property? We probably spent $100 and saved $300 or $200 by going over there. And that's where we got Death Star ears for Isabella. Those were $2.99.
Ridiculous.
You're
crazy not to go.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. If you have the chance to go over there, you can really load up on Disney Parks souvenirs. That's all that they have. It's all Disney Parks, and then it saves you a bunch of money going. Then you can just go buy one thing over on property, and you bought a ton over at these outlets.
Sweet. So I love these shows, because everybody vacations so differently, and it's like we can all learn from this. And yeah, we might have to check that out. We're down. Well, it's probably too late for this trip, but I'm taking Mallory down in the fall. I think I'm going to surprise her, so we'll see. Maybe we'll drop by there. She loves to shop, and I'm cheap, so it sounds like a perfect combination. So, now, before you guys head over to property, we'll talk about that here in a second. Talk to me about like the level of Disney fan you are as far as traveling to Disney destinations. From the notes you sent me for this show, I mean, it's practically a thesis, you know, so I'd imagine planning is your jam and you really like sweating the details to make sure the trip's going to be amazing.
Yeah, our first trip as a family, as this family, the four of us, was in 2016. It was just, we were fortunate that our company was going to have a convention down there, and the boss is like, you want to take the kids to Disney World? I'll pay for the flights and the hotel, and then the rest is on you. And so at that point, my wife has always had, you know, had the dream of, we want to take the kids and make it a huge, huge deal. And the opportunity presented itself, and I just studied. That's how I found your show. And just, you know, I was just, in my entire life became, find out as much as you can. And when I was in sports radio for like 12, 13 years, show prep was my favorite part. Doing the research, being very, very prepared. So it's like in my blood to prepare for a Disney trip. And I just, there's like a level of competition, achievement, adrenaline, all those kinds of things happen in trying to get as much information to have at least something in place. Now, when you show up, it all goes away. The only thing that you have is you have your dining and you have your three rides a day, but that's it. And then you just got to, as long as you've done all of the planning and preparation before, and it's not planning all of your minutes to me, it's just knowing all of the things and all of the details and all of the tricks and alternate things to do before you go down there that can make a relaxing trip. So no, that's, I love that part. As far as the Phantom stuff, I went 4 or 5 times as a kid, never stayed on property, only went to Magic Kingdom until 2001. We were down in Tampa for the Super Bowl, drove over for a couple of days to go to studios and to the Magic Kingdom. And this was 2016 was the first time I'd been there since then.
Man, you know, you make a great point, because it is kind of a competitive environment when you're thinking about Walt Disney World, because you're competing for fast passes, you're competing for ADRs, you know, you're jockeying for position when you arrive for rope drop. I mean, I never considered that, but I'm a competitive sports person, man. Maybe that's why I like Walt Disney World so much. It's like you want to kind of win. It's crazy. I never thought about it that
way. Yeah. If you get all the ADRs and the fast passes you want when you want it, you've achieved something. That's a victory. It's the only thing that I got. You and I are too old to play sports anymore.
Exactly. I can run around the block. That's about it. That's all I can can do these days. I've even hung up softball, so that's kind of a sad thing. Anyways, let's talk. You get to property, okay? So where'd you stay? How do you make the transition? You know, you're offsite the first night. Get on site. How's the vacation kickoff?
So here's how this will give somebody anxiety. So we get up early, we go to the resort, we drop all of our gear off, drop our bags, make sure everything is good there. Then we take our rental car over to one of the Hiltons, I believe, on Hotel Plaza Boulevard. Drop that there, get on a bus there to the TTC, to the monorail, to the Magic Kingdom. That's all it took for us to get started on our first day. So then, you know, we have an 11:30 Chef Mickey's brunch over at the Contemporary. So we're like, okay, it's about 9:15 or so. We got some time. We're going to go hit the Jingle Cruise, because that was, didn't have a line. And then we're like, we got an hour. Splash Mountain says that it's 20 minutes. Touring Plan says it's only 15. Let's go on. Ride's 15. We got plenty of time. Let's go on over there. Turns out it really was about a 20-25 minute wait. We're sitting on the boat in Splash Mountain towards the end there, in line with like 7 boats sitting still in front of us. I'm sweating, looking at the watch, thinking, all right, we've got about 12 minutes and we're still sitting on the ride to get to the Contemporary. So then once we got off, it was literally running through, like security may have thought we were stealing things. We were running so fast through the Magic Kingdom. The one time we slowed down was when we got to the security checkpoint between the Contemporary and the Magic Kingdom. We didn't want to turn too many eyes, but it was a dead sprint to get to our reservation, and we made it. A little sweaty, a little tired, a little heavy breathing, but we got there in time.
That's what half the guests look like at Walt Disney World at any time. You know, I mean, that's, you're sweaty, you're tired, you're cranky. You know, that's. I just hope you like stretched on. You know, as you were kind of getting off Splash Mountain, you don't blow a hammy. You know, going through Adventureland, that'd be bad.
That would have been a good idea. Should have thought of that. Although there's not a lot of room in those.
That's true. You can't. Well, who are you kidding? You can't move in those logs. All right. So how was Chef Mickey's? Just real quick.
It was great. We did the brunch because we wanted a little breakfast, a little lunch, and some time in the morning. My daughter and I both had birthday buttons. Coolest thing, you walk in and they gave us cards that were signed by the Fab Five and said, happy birthday. Sweet. That was pretty cool.
Man, you guys don't waste any time, though. I love that, man. Look, we got 17 minutes and 34 seconds. We need two attractions. Let's rock. I love it, man. I got to travel with you. All right. So the After Chef Mickey's looks like he had some time over at Animal Kingdom. So how'd that go that evening?
Yeah. So we had actually planned, we'll have some break time. So after lunch, we'll go and we'll make sure the room's good and everything. And my wife's like, what are we going to do that for? We're going to kill an hour doing something stupid like that? Let's just go. All right, fine. That's great. I had break times all week figured out. We didn't use any of those. So, yeah, we went over to Animal Kingdom, and probably the highlight of that day at Animal Kingdom was food and going to the Stoolie Canteen. And I know that you had raved about it. Everybody I've ever heard who's gone there has raved about it, which usually means I'm going to go, and it's going to be like, it's okay. But it was the favorite restaurant for me, favorite food experience for me, and for my wife for the entire week, which is saying something, especially when you're talking about a quick service. It was fantastic.
Absolutely. Love it. I bet you I've had it two or three times already this trip. I'm guessing. Yeah. I don't know. We're recording early, but that's good. So you're eating well the first day. It's Stoolie Canteen and Chef Mickey's, two of my favorite places to eat. But then, so it's time to get to your hotel. You know, you get that first day. You've gone to two parks already, had some nice food, some fun experiences on attractions. Kind of a surprise when you get to Pop Century. Not exactly what you're expecting.
Yeah, so we walk in the room, and it hadn't been made. I mean, when I say not made, I mean not only are the beds not made, there's trash all over the place. It's a disaster. It's gross. So I call down to guest services or call guest services, wherever that call goes. And, whatever really happened, whatever the mix-up, they said that wasn't the room that we were supposed to be in. I was very, very very forthright in saying we had a refurb room, which at this time maybe 30% of the resort was refurbished at Pop. So I was not going to get thrown into an older room. I specifically stayed there for to try and get one of these refurbished rooms. So they took care of it right away. We just moved, I don't know, maybe 15 rooms down the hall. It was fine. Rooms are great. Everybody's raved about those. We could talk about Art of Animation later, but after you stay in one of those Pop rooms and you go to one that's not refurbed, you feel like you're going 30 years at a time.
That's weird. It is. I mean, they're so forward. They're very current and efficient. They're just nice. And that's the lesson I want everybody that's here to know that if something happens upon arrival at your Walt Disney World Resort, the room is not what you're expecting. It's not up to the standard that you expect because we're paying good money for these rooms. Just be firm but polite with the cast members, and they can usually solve that problem 99 times out of 100. So
yeah,
that's what you're saying.
I'll echo that with everything. That goes with everything down there. Anything that happens, if you have an issue and you're polite about it and respectful and just let people know, hey, this is going on or this happened, and even after your trip, if you send them a note, they are always – at least my experience, have been great at getting back to you, at answering your questions, at being respectful and polite and understanding of your situations. And in this case, and in another case you'll mention here in a minute, they took care of it.
All right. So the next day is Hollywood Studios. Looks like the goal of the day was a Star Wars day with Jedi training as one of your reasons to be there way before rope drop. So walk us through this day.
You've done a lot of rope drops to those things. Is where is the rush to Jedi training in the list of crazy things at rope drop that you've seen over the years that have gone on for years?
Now, see, I did it years ago. I mean, I haven't done it for the last 5 years, I would say. And when I did it, actually, I've done it twice. And Mallory chickened out the first time because she's only like, well, I don't know how young you can be, but she was little. Like, I wanted her to do it because I wanted to see her do it. Like, she had no, she did not want to do it. Like, and the cast member came over, and was talking to her, like, you got to kind of want to put on the robe. It was actually in the old Sounds Dangerous building at the time is where they kind of prepped the kids, and she was having none of it. So we ended up leaving after, spending like an hour to get her all ready to do it. And I was so pumped, and then I was disappointed. The next time we stood in line way over by Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular outside in a long line. It was blazing hot. But she did it that time. We got some awesome pictures, her and Darth Vader. She's probably 5 or 6. But yeah, I haven't done it since then. So what is the process better, I'm hoping, or how'd it go for you?
It's the same. It sounds exactly like what you just went through. Because of all of my preparation and all that and learning about how this all works, we did this 2 years ago and did the exact same thing. Got there 45 minutes early, hauled as fast as we could back there. It took us a little longer last time because we weren't up front near the touch tiles at that point, tap tiles at that for that trip. But this one, we actually ended up being in the second. They opened up a new one, and we just slid right on over to that one. But there were already a couple of hundred people in line, and a lot of them go to Toy Story. and some of them go to Rock and Roller Coaster, and a large chunk of them go back to Jedi training. But one piece of advice, if you get there an hour early, there's a good chance they're going to open the gates early, like they did for us this day. They opened at 8:30. By the time park officially opened, attractions officially opened, we'd signed up for Jedi training. We'd had family pictures in a couple of different spots. And then we walked straight into Jedi to the launch bay, and we knocked out all three character meet and greets. And we got that done less than an hour before or after actual park open time.
Yeah,
if you're prepared, then and know this kind of stuff, and make the hard part is you got to get up early. You got to get over there at 8 o'clock, and that's the challenge.
Well, it's brutal getting up early, but the thing is, you know, and this is hard to explain to folks that aren't, you know, connected as far as how Disney literally works. You know, the folks that know Walt Disney World planning through a burn bomb guide, you know, like, okay, this is what time the park opens. I'll get there 10 minutes before and I'll be set. But the thing is, if you get there, say, 45 minutes before park opening, like you said, you know, during times where the parks are going to be above average crowds, they're going to open those gates early because they want to get people moving. They want to keep the crowds moving. And I'm telling you, just like you said, this perfect example, that extra 30 minutes that you sacrificed of sleeping, you know, because you could have slept another 30 minutes. But the thing is, you probably got a 2-hour return on what you got done that day.
Yeah, you're probably right. And you did it at the outpost. So you're familiar with where that sign up area is. So the line goes straight back and then it hooks around, and I couldn't believe there were hundreds, over 100 people in line, and we had just signed up, and it was at 8, probably at about 8:45 in the morning. Park opens at 9, so somebody's going to show up there at 9:05 and think this is no problem and go stand in line for an hour hoping they get a spot, and there's a chance you don't.
That's so sad. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's one of the, you know, you mentioned the competition, but it's about the planning. You know what? Like, if you know, you put yourself in a better spot than folks that don't know, which is, you know, it's kind of sad, but it is what it is. You know, it's like you're listening to our show, so you know. So there you go. You know, I hate to say it that way. Tell your friends. All right. So something really cool happened, though, with character interaction here. I want you to share this story because this is what Walt Disney. To me, this is why I go. Not even if it's just my kid. I like seeing anybody get to have an experience like Bella had.
Yeah. So she is a huge Star Wars fan to the point where she dressed as Rey the entire day, and she was the center of attention all through Hollywood Studios. And so Riley, who the 11-year-old or 10-year-old at the time, we're over in line at Tower of Terror, and then Stacy and Isabella watch the what do they call the fashion show?
I can't even remember because Ricky.
See, nobody knows. It's called the Star Wars
Ricky's
show.
So stupid.
That is what it is. I mean, that's exactly. It's a perfect. It's music and sort of story, and everybody comes out in their costumes. That's what it is.
That is
the. So they're standing there watching that, and then it's over, and Bella goes over to the side to watch the characters as they're coming off the stage, and she's standing right up front. It's just to the right of the stage where they all come down, and she's standing there just looking cute in her Rey costume. Kylo Ren walks by, looks at her, shakes his head, looks at the ground, walks away, and Rey comes out. Rey comes up, gives her a big hug, and then walks off, and a cast member comes up to my wife and says, "Is it just the two of you?" She says, "Yes." He says, "Come with me." So they're like, "Okay, cool." So they're going backstage, have no idea what's going on. They're following the characters backstage. They come around a corner, and as they turn the corner, Chewbacca and Rey are standing there. And she got a one-on-one meet and greet with those two, pictures, interaction. The picture is hanging in a room. It is so cool. I mean, that's, you know, my wife had a tear in her eye while watching it. I remember looking at the picture, reading the text, standing in the garden, the Tower of Terror, and I'm practically bawling. It was so, so cool. And you're right. It's exactly why you go there.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's a love hearing that because the thing is, that's a memory you guys will have for at least a decade, you know, probably for the rest of your lives. And what does it take? It just takes attention on the part of the cast members. You know, like, this is an opportunity. You know, they could turn an eye and just go on, you know, go back and have a Coke backstage, you know, the show's over. But this is an opportunity to do something like this. And here we are talking about it, you know, 9 months later, and it's going to be something you remember forever.
Yeah, it was special.
Awesome. All right, so you did a lot of the seasonal stuff because, again, you were down there during the holiday season. You did the Mickey's or the Minnie's seasonal dine at Hollywood and Vine. You guys stayed around for Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam, kind of, you know, cruised around, saw the – I thought the studios really – I dig the new decorations they have, kind of the retro 50s mid-century type decorations all around the park. But seasonal events at the studios at night, just in general, what'd you think?
It was really cool when you're walking down Sunset Boulevard and it's snowing.
That's pretty cool.
It's really neat. They did a great job. I think, and I know I think Ricky even said it, that they may have done an even better job than Magic Kingdom because more of the park was decorated. More of the park was Christmas. Magic Kingdom is Main Street. This is the whole park had Christmas stuff everywhere. And the event at night and the projections on the tower and then the snow and the music, it's simple. It's a very simple thing. It's not very long. You don't have to stand there very long to see the whole thing, but it adds a lot. It gives you something else to do, which at the time, you know, it's before Toy Story opened. It's, you know, that's there's not a ton of things to do if you don't like, you know, thrill rides. They have two thrill rides. If those aren't your cup of tea, you're gonna have a lot of downtime. And if you don't like Star Wars, you're gonna have a lot of. So they found something to give people something else to do.
I agree. It's a cool place. It's visually. There's a lot of great pictures places for pictures too. Can't wait to get back there this holiday season. All right, so the next day, I want to talk about this. You did the Sunrise 9, which I've never done. I played 18 right before the Expo Marathon Weekend a couple years ago. For somebody that does, I know you play golf more. You're a golfer. I'm not really a golfer. I hadn't played in years, and I have a screwed up back. 18 holes, considering I hadn't played like in a decade, was way too many. My back was messed up, and I had to do the dopey challenge for the next 4 days. Sunrise 9, if I play again, this is the way I'm going to go, because 9's plenty. You get out in those beautiful courses. Great rate. So what did you think for that? And how difficult is it to work golf into a Disney vacation?
Well, it's difficult, yeah, because you don't want to be anywhere but in a park. But this was a day in which we weren't going to a park. And I knew that if I'm sitting around my hotel room, which is, you know, they're small, I wake up early. I'm like you. I don't get up as early as you and run. But I would be up by 7 o'clock and they would sleep in and I would be sitting there going mad, having nothing to do.
So, I hear you. Like, what are you doing sleeping? You can sleep at home.
This is exactly why I did it. It was my way of getting away. But it was awesome. And I think I'll do it. I would do this every time. I think the whole thing cost me like $70. That included 9 holes, your cart, breakfast sandwich, 2 drinks, and club rental, sleeve of balls, and shoe rental. So all I had to do was bring a glove.
I can tell you, though. Now, for somebody that doesn't play golf, and I have really old, like, hand-me-down clubs for my cousin who played at Southeast Missouri State on a golf scholarship, you know, like, just a sleeve of balls there. I was in shock how much golf balls cost, because, like, back in the day, my grandpa just bought me the X-Outs. You know, that's all I ever had, mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, my God.
Well, then maybe you should bring at least one sleeve and get your complimentary sleeve on top of it. You'll have 6.
That's for the first hole. I'm so bad. I was chucking them. Now, what course? Because I played Lake Buena Vista, man. We were chucking them off the villas at Old Key West like they were going out of style.
I played the Magnolia. And the reason I did is I knew that it was in the Magic Kingdom area. And the way that it's supposed to be is you play the back 9 because then they send everybody who's going to play 18 off on the front 9. But for some reason, got lucky, got to play on the front 9, got to get my picture with the Mickey Bunker in the background. And that's really what I wanted. So it was another nice surprise.
I'm just saying, between all like Scott and Steve, everybody that was with us that day, no, I have to say, none of us were good golfers except for Moose. I mean, the people that were staying in those golf course view villas at Lake Buena Vista that morning, they might have thought that our country was under attack. That's how bad it was. I was like, there went another one. Boom. So yeah. So I'm probably banned. All right. So you head over to Disney Springs and spend a little time there. So just highlights from that visit.
It was fun. It's nice. It's a nice shopping area. I think if you live down there, it would probably be a place that we would go on a consistent basis. It's a nice place to go when you're not going to a park or just looking for something different. They do have some unique shops, especially for for us from the Midwest, like Uniqlo. I went in there and actually I needed a knit hat. Mine had torn at home and I got one there for like $10. It was beautiful. It's a very inexpensive clothing store, which I said inexpensive on Disney property, which is something you don't get to say very often.
Yeah,
it was neat. Went to Deluxe Burger, which is fantastic. They had the donut chicken nuggets going at the time, which was phenomenal. But the hamburgers there, that place is really, really good.
It is. Oh, man. I love that place. So now I'm confused. Did you finish? Because you didn't go to the parks that day. That was the night you went to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party?
Yeah, that was the night we went to the party, which is its own story. Do I have time for that?
Yeah, let's hit it. Let's go.
All right. I'll hit it quick. So the whole plan was they didn't know we were going to the party. I'd planned this for like a year. and quietly on the side taking care of the money to pay with gift cards and had everything shipped to the office. And so I had everything hidden. I had t-shirts made. I had a box that was packed. I had it all good. I had to go to the store at Pop and get some tape so that I could tape it all up in the morning before I went to play golf. So it was sitting there. I had a sign that said, do not open. I had this whole thing all set up.
This is like not even A-level planning. Yeah, man. This is above that. This is unreal.
Yeah. Well, part of it is my wife would have killed me if I had just out said, yeah, we're spending this much on tickets. Don't worry about
it. No, they were comps. Somehow they came for free. I didn't spend the money on this.
So I got all this stuff and I'm ready to go. And then I open the envelope that's got everything in. I forgot the tickets.
You got shirts though, and nowhere to go.
Oh, I got no tickets. So I'm in a panic. Now I know that this is going to, I can get this rectified. I don't know how it's going to, but I know they're going to do it because it's what they do. So I went and played golf. I didn't put any of that stuff out. I just kept it all and hid it in behind all this bags we bought at the Character Warehouse under the sink. So then I go and hit the concierge when I get back. Terry was her name, and I will remember Terry's name for the rest of my life. She was there the day Pop opened. Pop is very important to her. She doesn't want to be anywhere else. It's like her place, has ownership of that place. She sat on the phone for 30 minutes on hold. These cast members wait on hold like we do when they call the ticket office. She sat there patiently waiting and waiting and waiting and then worked with the people in tickets. And then I forgot that I had them sent to the office address. So I'm giving them my address and they're under the office address.
They're thinking this guy from St. Louis is trying to scam us hard right now.
Oh, God. I'm like, this is going to... We finally got it worked out. They put them on the magic bands. I was able to go up. I had the confirmation letter. I didn't have the number because I cut that off. And I had my daughter read that. I got it all on video. Had her read that. Had them open the boxes. They had the Christmas sequin ears for each of them. They each had their own Disney Christmas themed t-shirt that I had my neighbor make, and found out that we were going to the party. And that was my big surprise for that no one knew. And I somehow pulled it off, even though I almost screwed the whole thing up.
Well, so I'd imagine that once you arrive at the Magic Kingdom for the party, man, it's like gravy. Like, this is actually finally... I mean, like, you put a lot of work into it before, but I mean, you put a lot of work into it a couple hours before the actual event. So was it what you expected when you finally got to, you know, have the big sigh of relief and you were there with your, once you went through the touch points and it actually all worked out, how was it?
Party was better than I expected. I was one of those people that said, I'm not spending $100 to go to a party, for God's sakes. We're already spending all this money on these tickets. I'm not spending another $100 to go to the same park for a shorter amount of time after, even if it is lesser crowds. I would tell people this who are on the fence for it. It's not for everybody. If you love Christmas like we do, I think you would be missing out. If you find out what it's like from others, you would regret not going. It was spectacular. Do know two things. If you want magic shots, you're going to wait in line. If you want to meet and get the photos with special characters, you're going to wait in line. If you just want to see the special characters, I think it's more entertaining to go and watch the Seven Dwarfs interact for 15 minutes than stand in line for an hour to get your photo taken and you don't even see the interaction because you're behind them. Or you can go and see Aladdin and the Genie and go see Mary Poppins and go see Aurora and go and see Snow White. And the princes are with all of the princesses. And you can watch the interaction. We did one meet and greet, and it was voted on by everybody to go do Sandy Claus. And I knew where it was and how early we had to get there. And we got there at about 5:20, and the party started at 7:00. He came out at 6:00 and we saw him just before the party. So we waited like an hour and 40 minutes in line, but we saw him. It was the best character interaction, character meet and greet we had the entire trip by far, including last trip as well. And we didn't miss any of the party. So it worked out. But we weren't going to wait in line after that for Moana for 2 hours.
Yeah, I've heard that Sandy Claus is one of the, it's worth the wait, but the waits are extensive. I mean, and people that, because I'm not a character person, I've met my fair share and, it's... At least, Mallory's getting older now, so we're kind of getting beyond that. We'll do it for special pictures and so forth, but it's one of those things that, I mean, to a person, everybody says exactly what you just said. Like, oh my gosh, the line was pretty long, but it was worth it in the end, which, kind of surprises me.
Yeah, but that's it. Just pick one. And then then the rides were great, and going to get the snacks was great. And the best part of the whole night, the parade. The parade is what I wanted more than anything else, and it didn't disappoint. And holiday wishes were fantastic. And we had a sellout, I do want to stress, too. This is the week after Thanksgiving. Remember when there used to be down weeks? The party on Sunday sold out. Our party on Tuesday sold out. The party on Friday sold out. And the party on Saturday sold out. Or on Sunday, it sold out too that week. And so when I saw it was sold out, we walked in. I was like, oh, great. What's this going to be like? And it was fine. We waited 5 minutes to get online at Splash. We almost walked on to Big Thunder. We had an absolute blast and already said, okay, we're doing the party one night. That's already decided.
That's awesome. And it is. I mean, everybody needs to give it at least a shot once. I love the party. And it's good to know that even on a sold out night, it's still not, you know, New Year's Eve in the Magic Kingdom, because I've done that. Oh, well, I've done the 30th. I always do. I've caught on the 31st, and that's a nut house, too. So, hey, John, would you mind coming back next Monday? Let's split this into two shows, because we got so much more I want to cover, and kind of pick it up maybe on Wednesday there, that you head back to the Magic Kingdom, not a party day, and kind of kick it off there. But I don't want to sell this short. This has been a lot of fun, but I think a lot of folks are getting lots of fun information. Not only is this fun to you know, revisit your trip, but I think you're giving a lot of good tips here. So how about next Monday? Can we do a second part of the show?
I am yours whenever you need me.
All right. Well, we're going to come back again next Monday, so stay tuned for that. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books for the Disney fan in your life. You got the original, The Wisdom of Walt, focused on Disneyland, and the new book, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, by author Jeff Barnes, talking about how Walt Disney dreamed, and he took those dreams and made them actionable. You know, he got the most out of those around him, fired people up, rallied the troops, and made the impossible happen many times over. So check these books out over at thewisdomofwalt.com. And don't stay in lines. You know, it's like, John, you fire up the app right there on your smartphone. Touringplans.com. Going to steer you in the right direction. Save you hours on your next Universal or Disney trip. Check them out today over at touringplans.com. And don't forget to support the show. Amazon, we got our affiliate link over there. It really does help support everything we do. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Again, I'm down at Walt Disney World for a few more days. Give me a follow on the social media, Instagram and Twitter @BeOurGuestMike, and on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your Monday. Again, tune in next Monday. We're going to finish this trip up with John. Lots of fun stuff to come, but you know, maybe he'll remember his tickets the second half of the trip. I don't know. We'll see. Well, keep us on the edge of our seat there, John. All right, so for John, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.